Hey friends, welcome back to Geological. Today I've got a special show for you. I am on with three very experienced practitioners. They all practice herbal medicine, they all practice acupuncture, and we're here today to talk about something kind of near and dear to all of our hearts. I mean, you probably see it might be in your communications with your patients. You're certainly getting advertisements about all this all over the place on the internet these days. The big thing these days is immunity, right? Everyone's looking to boost up immunity. And I don't know about all y'alls, but as a Chinese medicine practitioner, I'm kind of scratching my head and going, immunity? Well, in Chinese medicine, we don't even recognize an immune system. I mean, we've got some things that we do that we look at like Wei Qi or Zheng Qi or maybe even Yuan Qi. Maybe you got some other ideas about the processes and the things we have in us that keep us strong and vital. But we don't have an immune system in the same way that Western biomedicine sees an immune system. So I've got three of my friends here, Laura McGraw, Toby Daly, and Chris Powell. And we're going to have a little discussion about this very topic. I'm going to have each of them introduce themselves. How about we start with my fellow Missourian, one of the co-hosts of Yin Yang Podcast, Chris Powell.
Hi, my name is Chris Powell. I'm in Kansas City, talking just across the state from Michael Max, and I'm really glad to be on here today. I think it'll be a lot of fun. So most of my practice, I mean, I've been in practice here in Kansas City for 25 and a half years. Most of the time I've spent, my specialty's been cancer. That's what I've done a lot of my research on, currently with a research project ongoing at KU Med here in Kansas City, and doing a lot of pretty much herbal medicine and acupuncture. And most of what I do has been inspired, and I'm still learning with Dr. Arnaud Versluys, doing a lot of the Shanghan Jingwei procedures and using those, understanding that perspective of how it comes into play in this, and pretty much even looking at, we're talking about the immune system today, even just, you know, the six confirmations and how that corresponds to, I mean, there's a cool way to talk about it. So I'll plagiarize Arnaud for a while too at some point.
Well, it's always good to know, to be able to name our sources, where we get stuff from, because then people can go find out more about it on their own.
Right, right.
Yeah. Laura, how about you?
Well, hello. My name is Laura McGraw, and I have a practice in Portland, Oregon. I've been practicing for 23 years. And I have a mixed bag practice, a lot of sports medicine, but I do a lot of women's health, digestive problems, whatever seems to come in the door. Currently, I'm a teaching assistant for Sharon Weizenbaum's graduate mentorship program in Amherst, Massachusetts. And I've been studying with Sharon for 8 years now. And like Chris, you know, a lot about the Shanhan Lung and the Jingwei and how the six confirmations function in the body and how we can work with those functionalities to keep us healthy.
Great. And Toby Daly.
Hey, Michael.
Wait a minute. This is not a podcast about acupuncture. What are you doing here?
I do a little bit of herbs also. Yeah, so I'm the junior practitioner here. I've just been licensed for 15 years now. And I practice just north of San Francisco. In the small town, I just do general practice. So I'm actually eager to hear what everyone on this panel has to say. Hopefully I can contribute something, but I'm really eager to hear what everyone else has to say.
Great. Well, again, thank you all for being here today. We kind of pulled this together on short notice, and I just love it that y'all jumped in on, this. It's a super germane topic at this moment in time. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. So Chris, you say absolutely. Tell us your thoughts about what it is that keeps us well and healthy in the face of some kind of an attack. What are some of your thoughts? Because I know you've also got a Western medicine background to some degree.
Right. I mean, I did infectious disease before I came into Chinese medicine. So it's been kind of a real interesting shift of paradigms back and forth to look at all of this and look back at conversations that I used to have, even look back at old epidemiology notes, talking with a couple of colleagues from around the country and just looking at see if how, you know, how we look at, you know, things like herd immunity and community immunity and, you know, what the immune system really is and what kind of immunity is conferred with anything from vaccines to herbal medicine to just in general, some level of health or, you know, even diet and all of that. So I think it's pretty interesting to look at how the immune system really works, because it's always looked at as a way of developing this prevention, like We're boosting the immune system. We're having this preventing development in order to counteract the effect of any kind of attack that might come. You know, and I think it's a Western point of view that we have to kill our attackers, you know, and in the East, it wasn't so much kill, but it was just, you know, resolve it, you know, let it go on its way. There wasn't all this talk of killing everything. I think that belongs to everybody, I guess, but it belongs to us for sure in the way we approach medicine. So I think it's important to realize, I'll go ahead and kick it off so we can have some good laughs. But I had an email a couple of days ago from somebody in the field, which was utterly shocking and stunning to me, saying, Chris, I'm trying to get this. I know that Gan Mao Ling and Yin Chao are going to prevent corona. And I was like, oh, for the love of, what are you talking about? And I was like, but that has always been the trend. I think people have this mentality, and I'm not going to bring up other practitioners by name or anything like that. But I think, you know, people put out this, this sense that, you know, these pills or this or that are going to boost the immune system. And I think that's how we all got onto this conversation. And I think that that's a good topic. In fact, I was looking at a MD who's also an acupuncturist, Toby, not far from you, I think, and saying, you know, kind of the same type, you know, it's like, you know, come in here because I'm going to boost your immune system and we're going to do this. And I have these herbal boost pills. And sometimes I'm just scratching my head going, do you really know what you're talking about? I mean, it's great marketing, but I think that that's kind of a point. That's why I think it was nice to take a step back and really see what are people talking about, you know, echinacea and you know, everything else and hawthorn. And you know, I think it's that whole thing of just looking at how our body responds to that attack, you know? And it was like last night, it was like I had this flushing sensation and I was like, oh, mother of God. Am I getting this? And you get in this funny negative loop and it's like, well, I'm going to pop some herbs, you know, and it's like, I'm just going to start with the old classic when you're feeling like, you know, Guajitong. 2 o'clock, I ran this huge sweat. And then for an hour, I was in this negative loop. I'm like, oh my God, this can't be happening. I'm not getting this. I have been so good about this. Woke up this morning, I'm like, nah, you're fine. So either the Guajitong did its work, which it probably did, who knows. But at the same time, it's just that sense that we get that kind of manifestation of Western and Chinese, you know, modalities and trying to think about how we look at that. It's kind of like when that first attack comes to Taiyang and our body reacts that way. It's a beautiful way of looking at it. It's like, all right, we're going to diaphorese. We're going to get this out. We're going to, you know, prevent it from going deeper because we don't want it to go any deeper, as we know that a lot of these pathogens can and often do.
They'll cause some real mischief when they get in deeper.
They do. I mean, look at SARS, look at all those. But yeah, even this one, I mean, think about it, fibrosing in the lungs. I mean, God, that's horrible. Yeah.
Well, you know, you mentioned SARS. Do you know what the official name of this virus is beyond COVID? I mean, COVID-19 is like the name of the illness, but the name of the virus is SARS-CoV-2.
Right. Yeah, all those novel coronaviruses. And I think that's where, and if we get into doing herbs and stuff and talking about that later, it'll be kind of interesting to discuss that, those options about how maybe that really works.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great.
Because I don't know if anybody really has that mechanism or not. We all talk about it, but, you know, is it really there?
So, you know, talk about the mechanism and your experience with, oh my God, am I getting this? And I don't know about the rest of you. I know I've had moments where it's like, I'm feeling a little bit off. And that in my mind, my Western mind goes right to that. Uh-oh, am I getting this? And I start thinking about cells fighting each other and that whole bit. And then this Chinese medicine side of my brain kicks in and I go, it's not about getting it. It's about what you do with the influences that are present now and how I'm responding to it. So what can I do in my response to this moment with this thing that would let me handle it? Because it's not about not getting it. It's a virus. And many of us are going to get it. And most people are going to survive it. Some are not. And those numbers are not small. But many of us will. And so I think we also need to keep in mind that it's not just that there's this quote invader, but there's something else in us that can take care of it. In your case, diaphoresis that thing out, and there you go.
Yeah, assist the body in doing its duty.
Yeah, Laura, you're also kind of a fan of the Liu Jing, the six levels, the six confirmations.
So the first thing I think of when I have a patient who call me about this is who has this coronavirus. First of all, what is their constitution? Where are the places where they're deficient? Where are the places where they have blockage, possibly, or a combination of both? And do a complete diagnosis. I mean, something like Yuping Fengsang or Yin Chao San is not for everybody. You know, if you are a person that gets a block easy in your Yang Ming, you don't want to be taking Yuping Fengsang all the time. That could possibly make things worse. So going back to that kind of broad idea.
How would that make things worse for those who might not understand that mechanism?
Well, giving a bunch of tonics to someone who easily gets stagnation or heat, you can see how that could possibly cause a lot of buildup in someone who doesn't need those things. Like, you know, it could be problematic to constantly take a tonic if you've got like a lot of liver qi stagnation, for instance, or your lungs don't open properly and your surface doesn't open properly or gets blocked, like in a Ma Huang Tong pattern where the person's freezing cold and they have serious chills, but they're not sweating. You don't want to throw tonics on that. You want to open it up with Ma Huang Tong so that the tie-in can complete and then go down so that they can actually have a sweat and reduce the fever. You wouldn't want to give them Yin Chao San for something like that. So that's, again, is who is getting the coronavirus. And you basically want to restore functionality of the six confirmations. So where the person is having their symptoms is going to show you where the blockage is or where they're deficient. Treat that. And from my experience right now, it's changing so fast. My first patient, you know, had a Ma Shen Shigan Tong pattern. You know, they're, you know, really achy body, uncomfortable with, oh my God, it's in my chest. Like, uh-oh. And then when I gave her that, she could breathe. And it was like the fever came down and she felt less achy. And unfortunately, we can get into cases later, but that was just an interesting case. And then they gave her steroids, which then sent her into a Bai Hu Tong pattern. She had a big fever, big sweat, gigantic thirst. She was drinking gallons of water and her tongue turned red with a yellow coating. I mean, it was like instantaneous. So then this coronavirus patient had a Bai Hu Tong presentation. So you treat that. So you just treat what shows up in the body and help the body restore function so that you can kick this thing out. Like, let it move through. Let it go through.
So this is what you were just saying, let it go through. This is the exact opposite of most people's thinking, right? Most people's thinking is keep it out. If it gets in, kill it. And that is just a totally different way of conceptualizing the universe, what you just talked about. Get it in, take it through.
You know, Sharon Weizenbaum, and this is a lot of this teaching is from her, and she talks about how we're permeable with, you know, we eat food, food goes through us. We breathe air, it comes in, we breathe out. We are permeable. We're going to get this virus. We're going to be in contact with it at some point, you know, in the next month, the next year, or whenever, you know, that happens. How do we easily get it through our body, let it move through, and have our body restore function? And a lot of these people end up in a really bad place. From what I'm seeing with the symptoms, it sounds like there's a lot of blockage in the Yang Ming and in the Tai Yang area. And then it goes into Xiaoyang and possibly Tai Yin is what I'm seeing. And I think that's what they're reporting in China as well.
So what you're saying, if I'm hearing this right, is you're using the six confirmations as kind of a map. Where is this thing? Using the six confirmations for that. And then you're going in and using your very basic Chinese medicine thinking. Is it deficient? Is it excess? Is there some weakness? Is there some stagnation? And is it hot? Is it cold?
Yes, all of those things.
Just our usual things, right? Except you know how to target it. It's, you know, it's almost like an MRI in a sense, right? It's like you know where to focus your attention.
Yeah, if the patient has a history and they have a lot of systemic blood stasis, this is going to be problematic for them to help move things through. Their blood already doesn't move well, and then you introduce something like this, it's going to be really tough on them. So you have to consider that in the treatment as well.
Because isn't it funny, Laura, that the use of steroids causes, I mean, it's always like the go-to for this kind of situation, but it just exacerbates the problem, I think, that it tends to anyway. I mean, you know, they're not going to call us for herbal consults, I'm pretty sure. But I mean, at that same time, I think that there's that tendency to jump to that. And I think it, you know, it causes even problems down the line as well. I mean, I think it just inevitable in the future, it just gets so much worse.
Totally agree. Yeah. I think this case, this woman has asthma. So they just think she had oral steroids and inhaler steroids. It was like double duty.
So that's sort of the Western medicine equivalent of Yin Shao San and Gan Ma Ling.
Yeah, has to be, I'm convinced, you know, and probably echinacea and zinc and vitamin C infusions thrown in there too, but I might've just stepped on somebody's toes.
I've actually heard the vitamin C infusions, they've been using them in China with some success, supposedly. I've not read the research, but it's one of those things floating around. I don't know if it's true or not.
And again, vitamin C isn't good for everybody. It's sour. It's got its herbal quality to it, right? Like, is that something you want for that person?
True enough. And also, I mean, intravenous is one thing with vitamin C, but if you're taking it to the point where you get diarrhea, now you have successfully purged yourself. That's like using Da Cheng Qi Tang, which could cause problems. You know, at a certain stage, especially a certain Taiyang stage, you can erroneously purge someone and really drag something deep into the body.
Oh, absolutely. There's a lot of wrongful purging going on out there.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of wrongful treatment.
True.
It happens all the time. It happens with the best of intentions. You know, we see it with people that have come in from the conventional community. We do it ourselves. It's hard to see when we do it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, right? But we've all made our mistakes. You know, it's like I could go on a rant on just mistakes and things I've learned over the 20 plus years. You know, that's what everybody does. You know, it's kind of
it's what Zhang Zhongjing did, or you could not have written the book the way that he wrote it.
Yeah. I mean, and he's kind of, to me, it's like, that's the quintessential person to be looking at for epidemics. You know, I think he had a little bit of practice.
Toby, what about you? I'd like to get your initial thoughts on this.
Laura and Chris, I'm glad you talked to them first because they really laid a good groundwork for what to say. I think just my main thing that I just keep coming back to is don't make a nice home for this pathogen. And it seems like this pathogen, at least coming out of China, really likes dampness. So if I'm edging towards something these days, is try to keep everyone as less damp as possible, which is a little bit difficult with my community.
Because of where you are?
Yeah, just because people tend to be pretty overweight and wet.
Well, I've been watching the weather here in Missouri. Today, it's finally a little bit blue. But for about the past week and a half, it's been very Seattle-ish. It's been cold. It's been wet. It's been rainy. It's been gray. You know, that that deep gray, not just like, oh, high cloud gray, but that very deep cold.
Michael, you just described dampness. Portland, Oregon.
Well, I mean, Portland, yes. I mean, there's Portland, one of the hotbeds of COVID-19.
Right.
And, Seattle. You know, Wuhan, very similar climate. And so, yes, I've been very concerned here in St. Louis because for the past, like I say, week and a half-ish, we've had that kind of weather. And given that, you know, we're just coming up on that J curve right now, it's got me concerned. And so, yes, I too am looking at making sure that the people that I'm helping to really address the dampness. What worries me is when I had my first COVID case yesterday, a smoker, which doesn't help, but very, very damp, super damp. And damp heat damp. So, you know, Laura, as you were saying, there's always some kind of underlying base pathology or constitutional aspect that someone has. And I don't see any way of not addressing that. It's like, at least for my thinking, I mean, I know we're here to talk about immunity, but here I am talking about like just what's in front of me and what's basic. You know, the true situation of who this person is, that can never be left out of the equation.
Well, for me, immunity is your six confirmations moving really well, you know, not mm-hmm. deficient, not getting stuck, just moving. As Sharon Weizenbaum calls it, a wheel going through water, just moving. And where it gets jammed up is the problem. Immunity is just the six confirmations working well. So making sure people are treating their constitution would be helpful for their immune system.
I love that phrase, Laura. Immunity is movement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds like Chinese medicine.
Permeability, in and out.
I really appreciated Sharon's article on the permeability piece. Yeah. It was actually quite poetic in a sense.
She's a beautiful writer and teacher. Yeah.
And that idea that we are permeable. With every breath, we're permeable. With everything we drink, we are permeable beings. And so often when I think about immunity, I'm thinking about the brick wall. My delightful young niece, 15-year-old kid that lives here with us, we were joking around at the dinner table the other night because, you know, there's no N95 masks available. So she's kind of a smart aleck. And she goes, well, you know, you could just use duct tape. Nothing will get through. And it really just rang that permeability thing true for me, that it's not about the brick wall. It's not about closing your mouth and nose over with duct tape. That kind of wall doesn't work. What we need is something that creates the flow. So if we're looking to create the flow, I'd love to hear some ideas that you have around that.
Well, again, I just think keeping someone healthy is working with their constitution and make sure everything's moving well. You don't want to be constipated right now. You know, you want your liver qi to not be too stagnant. You want your blood to be good quality and harmonized in a really well way. You want to keep everything moving and open. I think that's what you need to do. And as Toby said, really working on diet is really important for that damp piece.
Yeah, I think it's working that, you know, all those six confirmations, keeping everything moving. I mean, obviously, we don't want anything to break through the yang confirmations to the yin confirmations, because once it's the yin confirmations, it's solid organs. And then we're dealing with, you know, the dangerous side of any of that. And I think that whatever we do, you know, is creating that ability to regulate the body's temperature, raise, you know, to be a little bit technical, regulating that piece in order to create that barrier that kind of allows it to be, you know, the six confirmations is kind of a metaphor for the immune system anyway. I mean, it's just that whole way of understanding, like you said, the you know, that constant cycling or the pivot, everything's pivoting from yang to yin and back and forth, and we kind of keep this cycle kind of going, and being able to understand all the qualities that we look at, dampness, temperature, and all of that in the body. And like Toby was talking about, the social distancing for, you know, kind of dampness and all that, kind of like maybe social distancing from the refrigerator instead of people might be more important in that regard. I don't know, Toby, you could fill me in on that one.
Yeah, I do a lot of nutrition in my practice, and this week has been everyone's asking me, begging me for nutritional advice. So this is one motivating factor. Even my own brother, who does not care about Chinese medicine in one way, he reached out to me this week and was like, "Oh, you know, what should I be eating right now?" So yeah, I think like it's a pretty boring podcast, but it would be, yeah, everyone should be as healthy as possible. That will make them the best possible, make them the least likely receptacle for this virus right now. That's the overview, what we could say, and we could just finish this podcast. But I think we have to realize that people are just so dynamic, and some people are still hanging so far in certain areas too. Like Laura was saying too, right? Yeah. If they already have a problem with the lung, and then here we have a thing that invades the lung so significantly, then we probably should focus on that and like forget about other areas like diet and things like that, and really try and get the lung to come out. I was hoping I could ask Laura, Chris, and maybe Michael too. What would you recommend for people that you're not seeing? Is there anything you would consider safe enough to send out to people? I know that's controversial because, like we said, everything is ideally personalized, and I think that's great. But is there anything that you would recommend for the general public to do? Or
I was just talking to Michael just the other day, and I've been discussing it because of what came out of Wuhan, and the CDC and the World Health Organization have discussed it and openly published about it. It's not on Fox News or CNN, obviously, but the fact that the workers in Wuhan that took a traditional herbal formula did not contract the illness. And what it does, you get down to it, it was Gansao Ganjiang Tang. And they had taken the Ganjiang out, put in Paojiang. And then depending on the level of influence for those that were administrators, that's the one they took. Then they modified it with Guizhi Tang, and the people on the front line took that. And that seems to have made quite a difference. And it's kind of like my COVID patient this week came in, and the first thing, I didn't get to see her anyway. She was 22 years old, actually drove from Chicago with her sister and her father before she was tested positive. So the whole house now is in quarantine. But when they called, when she got to Kansas City, she had 101.8 or 101.9 fever. And so not even really getting to see her, the first thing we need to do is we want to prevent that progression. I think the biggest thing to understand is the progression of disease and see where it's going to go from point A to point B in order to prevent it from getting, say, into the lungs or creating that pneumonia. So when this one, when her fever was that high, I immediately just hit her with Da Qing Long Tong with Ma Huang at 30 grams. Within 12 hours, her fever went down to 99.3, but it was still up. So I said, let's do another dose and check back with me in 8 hours. At the end of that 8 hour time, it was down to 98.7. Then, you know, she was feeling quite a bit better. That formula, it's a class one in China, or depending on level, if there's a lot more fluid in the lungs, then you're going to look at much different Ma Huang, you know, like even Laura was talking about what worked in transitioning to get that to happen, because with 48 grams of Shigao in the Da Qing Long Tong, that's like ice in the lungs. And what happens is, in my understanding, and maybe somebody else can jump in here and tell me too, my understanding of coronavirus and all novel coronaviruses is that they get sticky attachments and they stick to the alveoli in the lungs. And that's where, when someone put 16 antiviral herbs in a formula and it didn't do a damn thing to the virus, but then you do Da Qing Long Tong, virus is washed out, because it has to be, I mean, with all the herbs that are in there, but that 48 grams of Shigao is like ice in the lungs, and that's not going to allow the novel virus to adhere to the alveoli that floats. And then with the complete going with fluids through the body, that you can literally wash it out of the system. That's how I have it in my head. That's not saying that what I'm saying is 100% correct at all, but that's just how I'm looking at the potential of the herbs, the formula, what it's doing. But that is some of the biology of novel coronaviruses in general, how that stickiness adheres. That is what causes the fibrosing in the lungs and the scarring and all the damage that comes post that. Sorry, I didn't mean to go on and on about that.
This note was super helpful. And when you say stickiness, I put on my Chinese medicine thinking hat and I go, oh, that's a kind of dampness. That's a kind of damp phlegm, right? Dampness is kind of sticky. And what we're seeing is, you know, it's incredible filling up in the lungs of, you know, with fluid. So that really fits. I mean, here we've got some very biomedical stuff. It's a sticky virus, but that also corresponds with what we're seeing to be the damp nature of this thing. One of the things that I've heard from some doctors that I've talked to, because they're seeing the same thing with the dampness, and they're saying to use these diaphoresing, very aromatic herbs, huoxiang, peilan, binglang, huopo, you know, things like this, because they'll open up the exterior, but they're also very, very aromatically dispersing. And so it helps to cut through that turbidity. And Chris, it sounds like perhaps maybe with the Shergal, you were just freezing it out of there.
Yeah,
right?
I think it was literally like filling the lungs full of ice. And it just like, it's like a little happy ice party and everybody just slides right on out. But I think in my own poetic way, it's that kind of mean of just not allowing it to take that place, because really trying to make sure that we keep from going into the interior what will cause the damage, I think that's where our power lies. And I mean, I think that's where Chinese medicine has lied with every epidemic for, you know, for millennia, is that we have that ability to hit that with herbs that keep it from wanting to just rattle on down, go through the pain, go right through Shaoyang and right into, you know, the yin confirmations, because then we're talking a much more serious, much more recalcitrant illness and a much more challenge to treat. You know? So I think that's I'm roundabout quick way of doing it, but certainly it's an interesting faction of looking at what tools we really have in front of us. And I think when we lose the mentality of killing the virus, we open up to the fact of allowing the body to work itself, that we are aiding the body to do it, and not killing the virus, I think we win. I mean, I think that we get ahead in that game, because I think in every front in Western medicine, this whole notion, all the cancer conversations I have, we have to kill it, we have to kill it, we have to do this, and we're going to kill the human body as we kill the, you know, everything else. I mean, it's like there's this concept of always the war and the battle and the fight.
I'm coming back to Laura's idea of the water wheel. It's about just keeping this thing moving. It's just like, move along, move along, move along, virus. Nothing to see here. Move along.
You know, Sharon Weizenbaum has a really great way of talking about Shugao, how it's like opening the vents so that things can move through the lungs. It just opens. And, you know, depending on what it's paired with, it's not necessarily super cold. It just allows this opening in the yang, as the yangming chest starts to get blocked, it just opens it up so it can move from there.
Yeah. I want to ask Chris, I'm going to come back to Chris. Well, you, Laura, too, probably know about this. I was talking with a friend of mine the other day. We're talking about prevention. And I was saying, yeah, I've got some really good Dong Chong Sha Cao that I take. My lungs are weak. I have to pay a lot of attention to them. And Dong Chong Sha Cao cordyceps has been super helpful for me over the years. And I was telling her that that I was taking it. And she says, oh, that's good, but you need to add something for your Zong Qi, right? Z-O-N-G, Zong Qi, chest Qi, the Qi of the chest, which we learn about in Chinese medicine school. But I don't know if we think much about it after we've passed our exam for whatever we need to pass, right? But she said, you need to take care of your Zong Qi, and the formula for that, and she studied with Arno as well. So she says it's Gan Sao Gan Zhang Tang.
I love that formula.
To build up the Zong Qi. And I'm like, Gan Zhang, dried ginger and licorice? Really? I have not paid attention to this formula. But I can tell you that over the past few days, I have added that along when I washed down my little cordyceps tablets with that. And I have to tell you, my chest feels a bit open and looser.
Well, that's cool, Michael. That's really cool because, you know, in Wuhan, they would modify that one, like I said, with Guizhetang, but they'd also modify it with Baijiu and Fu Ling. So we're talking yin yang and, you know, dampness and everything in that one.
I could see taking that and modifying it in different ways for different people. So, you know, again, Toby, in answer to your question, I don't know if I would say that Gan Sao and Gan Zhang together is the cure-all for everybody, but it might be something worth adding along with other things. You know, the thing that's great about Chinese medicine, it's kind of modular. You can take this thing and put it with that thing, and you'll get synergy out of both of those.
Well, isn't it funny that they would take Gan Sao Gan Zhang Tang and give it technically to everybody in the hospital and then modify it depending on where you were in the front line, if you're in the back of the line. But if you're on the front lines with patients, and a lot of these healthcare workers were hours with these people, and not one got sick, not one. It's pretty interesting. And those herbal formulas, and if you read, God forbid, National Enquirer version of acupuncturists on Facebook, no, I'm going to get some hate mail for that one. But, you know, they're all like, oh, it's not antiviral. There's no antiviral concept. It's like, all right, let's look back at the research that Japan just did where they took the formula and did the 16 antiviral herbs. It didn't have coronavirus, looked at it and laughed. It's like, oh, who are you? So there's something to it. There's something about that regulation of the body, that regulation of moving, that regulation that we learn it. And that's, I think, my biggest complaint with Chinese medicine right now and this whole biomedicine wing that's kind of established its foothold in it, and I just want to give it a good boot. It's like, come on, if you want to go practice biomedicine, go that direction. Don't stick here in Chinese medicine. But I have a feeling that there's less of us than the others, and so we're just going to have to be a very vocal minority. So I plan on, we'll just stay that way.
I wanted to say, you know, like, because Gan Sao Gan Zhang Tang is really good with a dry cough due to cold in the lungs, right? It's like this frozen in the chest. And it'd be interesting to see if they gave that to the workers. I think you mentioned, Chris, that they were the workers outside a lot, because I think it was really cold and rainy in Wuhan at that time. And that might have been kind of a preventative for them. But I would be cautious using that on somebody who has a lot of internal heat and gets a lot of heat in their lungs. Like if they had phlegm heat, that, of course, you'd have to differentiate that. But I think that's interesting that cold in the lungs, like that frozen lung that gives that dry cough, would be really helpful for people stuck outside.
Yeah, and I think that they did, because of the cold, I think they did a lot of Shigan Ma Wang Tang as well. I think they used that one depending as well. But I think in the hospital itself, I think that was their... Well, I mean, I would love to get whoever designed that and said, this is what all the healthcare workers are going to take. This is your... You know, this is your vitamin C pack for every single day. If you're working here, this is what you take. And then if you're working more with the patients, we're going to modify that, you know, or even move it past that. And of course, now, I mean, I'm convinced that it's mutated enough to the point that Now it's different here in the States as other places. And I think that we start to find maybe more Chaihu-based formulas that work. Chaihu Guizhou Ganzhang Tang, Chaihu Guizhou Tang. I mean, I think we look at that. Is that because of Americans in general, how we are with our wonderful livers and our angst? And so I wonder about how that modifies it based just on that. So I think taking a cross-cultural herbal exam would be a really awesome study. It would be really cool to see what would happen in different regions of the world as well, because we know it would change, but it's certainly very interesting to see what happens with that concept.
Well, I think that how do I say this? Of course, the virus is constantly mutating because that's what viruses do.
Right.
The other piece is that it started in Wuhan, and it's that particular environment. It's that particular time of year. By the time it hits Italy, well, Italy's a slightly different situation, different climate. People are different. Lifestyle, habits different, diet different. Gets to the United States. Is COVID-19 in New Orleans going to show the same presentation as it does in Portland, as it does in, say, Tucson, Arizona? You know, I suspect that our environment, of course, has something to do with it. That's a very Chinese medicine way of thinking. And then, Chris, like you point out, us Americans with our livers, Laura, you mentioned this, the piece about that, you know, you want to pay attention to someone's constitution. You get a really livery country that this thing comes into, and you might see some things that are different. Or a lot of dampness on the inside, all the obesity here in America.
The Pacific Northwest, where everybody consumes a lot of cold beer, cold, damp beer in the winter. You know, there's a lot of men that do a lot of that and fried food and then
green smoothies for breakfast.
They're damp and damp heat. And yeah, green smoothies for breakfast. There's a lot of that.
Yeah. So we're kind of back to what Toby was talking about. Eat in a way that will make you more healthy. Toby, if you had just like general advice to give people, I'm going to put this question back to you, but instead of herbs with food, what would you have to say to folks about eating in a way that would make you less friendly to a COVID virus?
Yeah, like I said, I don't know for sure. I'm just speculating. That's why I'm so eager to hear what everyone else had to say. But I think just what people have said is the damp is giving this a home. And my underlying idea for this is not to give it a home. So I think, more drying foods. That's what I'd recommend. And climate-wise for us too, it's been pretty damp here in Northern California too. It was dry for a month before this. So it's sort of bad timing for this. But yeah, I think drying foods would be really reasonable here. Yeah, I really like to know the answer. I would like to have the answer and be able to tell you, but I'm not sure, you know, so that's just speculation. I think if we can drive people a little bit better, that's probably helpful. I'd love to hear a counter argument if anyone has it.
You know, I, of all the practitioners that I've spoken with about this, and this just might say more about me than anything else, but the ones who say, I don't really know, I haven't seen it enough to know yet, or I've got this idea, but we need to see how it plays out. The senior people that I've been speaking with, they seem to take that stance. I'm not really hearing senior herbalists that I know say, oh yeah, well, you got to do this or you got to do that, or it's absolutely that formula, or don't forget to add your antivirals, you know, that kind of thing. I'm not hearing that at all. I'm hearing a very thoughtful stance of, let's really take a look and see what we're looking at. And then once we know what we're looking at, we can try something. But we have to know what we're looking at. And you know, I'm kind of with you guys. I think that the six confirmations they're like the MRI of the Chinese medicine body. They can really help us to recognize where is this thing being most troublesome right now? And what's the nature of its trouble at that place?
You know, the signs and symptoms will tell you clearly where this is and where, you know, do we need to move? Do we need to strengthen? What needs to happen? The body's symptoms tell us where it's not moving through and where it's not been tonified.
That's exactly what I was going to say, Laura. I was just thinking that we're so lucky, right? We've got a novel coronavirus, and Chinese medicine just goes, okay, you know, what's the symptoms? And let's address it where we see it. I feel like I love Chinese medicine, but I especially love Chinese medicine epidemic, right? We don't have to wait too much for things. You know, whatever's in front of us, diagnose well and treat well. And that's...
Which is also easy. Not at all. It's very difficult.
Yeah. But at least there's something for us to do. We don't have to wait, right? We don't have to wait. We don't have to wait for a vaccine. We don't have to wait for what antivirals are going to work or something like that. We can start treating now. And we can start preventing now, like we were saying before, personalized to any kind of weak spot in the person. If we can strengthen that, then that's going to help their immunity. It doesn't matter which one of the 12 organs is associated with that weakness. If we can strengthen it up, that strengthens the entire system. So I feel lucky that we have something to do. I'm just a little bit nervous because, like all of us, we've never had to do this before. We've read about people having to do this before, but this is sort of our time to actually do this. So I'm nervous about the novelty, but I feel like, you know, at least we got really good frameworks to work within.
And I think that the part two is that at least the two patients I have with COVID-19, I haven't felt their pulse because they're not coming in. Or, you know, the ones that are really serious shape are in the hospital. They're not letting us anywhere near them, you know, unless it's somebody we personally know or a family member, God forbid. So I think it's a little bit of an unknown there because it's trained. It's like, well, someone say blah, blah, blah. I'm like, well, what's the pulse? I mean, that's always my first line. It's like, well, what's the pulse? And even I get to like that too when I'm trying to think about it. And I'll ask somebody else, and what's the pulse? And I'm like, yeah, you know, it always comes down to that part, at least personally. That's my own personal opinion. I don't want to irritate anybody, but it's just like, that's
how. Oh, you are, Chris, you already irritated a few people. So just lay it on us.
Okay. But I think, you know.
Just with your tone, Chris, I didn't like your tone. I think pulse is good, fine, but I don't like your tone.
I think it's the biggest thing is that, you know, it would be incredible, you know, and I'm sure there's got to be some pulse data in China, but when we get to see that, if we get to see that, I'm sure at some point we will. But here in the States, I just don't think it's going to happen. I think what I have been reading over the last couple of weeks, people are making good calls. You know, not everybody does the same form, but people are making good calls where they are, and they're getting results. So it's not steroids doing it. It's all of these combinations of things that we're able to treat and again, treat the individual person, because it's so easy to go in generalities. I mean, Western medicine is always treating in generalities and lumping people together. At least, you know, that's what I always try not to do with Chinese medicine. It's like, it's not a generality. And I think we're kind of operating in that realm right now. But at the same time, at least I think when we see each or talk to each individual patient, or if we know that patient, which is better, we already know that constitution. We already kind of know their pulse. We already kind of know.
One of the things I think is really curious and interesting about this moment is that while we can't get in and feel people's pulse, we can communicate with them through a computer screen. We get to see their tongue. We get to see their expression. You can kind of get a sense of who somebody is. I think this is a really unique moment for us to practice our medicine. Granted, it's maybe with one hand tied behind our back because we don't have the pulse. But I think we can still go. I think we can still get plenty of information that allows us to help people.
I agree.
You know, like Laura is saying, sometimes there's just a certain symptom picture, and you go, "Oh, big sweat, big thirst." You know what? She just went to buy Hutong.
She also had a red tongue, and it was pretty clear. I would imagine her pulses would have been, you know,
and she was thirsty.
Yeah, I wouldn't even. Right. It didn't. I don't think it would have mattered. It was just like the symptoms were so. By Hutong, it was necessary. And one day of that formula, her tongue was back to her pale tongue the next day and all the heat cleared. It was amazing. But just one day.
Yeah. So I want to pivot this just a little bit. We're talking about the body and its physicality, which is super important. One of the ways that our whole world is infected with COVID-19 right now, or the coronavirus, whatever we want to call this thing, is through our psychosocial emotive fabric that connects us all together. And that is sort of enhanced and exacerbated by this thing called the internet. People are flipped out. You know, there's a lot of panic. There's a lot of, I mean, the world has changed so dramatically here in the United States in the past 2 weeks. And there isn't a soul out here who's not connected to the internet, who's not deeply affected by this virus. We've been infected on sort of, again, the psychosocial emotive level. I'm wondering if you guys have any thoughts about how you work with that. Maybe you use herbs, maybe you do other things. Are y'all thinking about that at all? Or am I just, you know, a weird computer guy here who's looking at it and scratching my head? Toby, I'd love to have your thoughts on it.
Thanks. I think people are, it seems like two camps. People are freaking out too much and freaking out too little. So I feel like my job talking to people every day is to bring the freaked out people too much more toward the middle and the people not freaking out enough to come up. I think the internet has given people different information at different times. So I feel like I spend a lot of time bringing people back into more mainstream concepts, try and argue them away with, well, even if it is a bioweapon developed by the Chinese, you should still be careful when you go to Costco, you know, and, you know, there's just a lot of, I was surprised about how much I had to do of that. People get wildly different ideas, how it's a hoax, how it's the worst thing to ever happen and things like that. So I feel like I'm pretty, and myself too, I think I've been following the story for so long that I was just really heightened alarmist for a really long time. So I feel like I'm starting to come down a little bit, but I was definitely on the freak out side of it. Now getting a little bit closer and closer to the middle. But yeah, I feel like I have to do that a lot, manage people's information flows for them. I was surprised how much I had to do of that.
Yeah, I think similar to Toby, I'm trying to help people with their diet, just talk about the dampness and trying to keep everything cooked, try to eat soup, stay warm, get enough sleep, wash your hands, and also know that the social distancing is really just for the hospital so they don't get overrun and we don't all get sick at the same time. And then we're all going to probably be in contact with this. And again, trying to talk about that permeability and that if we stay healthy, we'll be okay. We'll be in that 90% or 90, whatever the percentage was that will recover. 97%. Yeah. And so just to remind them of that, and that we have some tools, we have herbs and Chinese medicine to help. And just really getting them to do things that they love at home, like dance, watch a funny movie, just try to offset the stress, because there's nothing we can do about this. This is the reality of our world right now. And we're all in this together. And we're here to support each other. I think there's a really tough economic piece that people are having with right now. There's a lot of layoffs going on. All the restaurants, as everybody knows, for us, we're not working as much, right? And we're having to change our style of practice as well. So yeah, just trying to stay connected. And that's a really cool thing about this. We're all really connected and we're doing it online now.
Yeah, and in some ways we're seeing how phenomenally connected and interdependent we all are. I mean, it's kind of an awakening. It's awakening slap upside the head awakening. But all you got to do is go and see things missing at the grocery store. You go on Amazon and try to buy like a webcam. Good luck with that, you know, because everybody's going to the internet. And so all these communication tools, they got snapped up.
All the frozen kale is gone in Portland.
You know, that's going to be good for Portland. Y'all need to learn to eat other food.
Yeah, I was at Costco here the other day in Kansas City. They had no tortillas, but they had so much toilet paper. I guess we could make tortillas out of them. But I mean, that was completely reversed from a week ago. Yeah, it's kind of, people are kind of in a weird apocalypse. I think it's too many movies and from the past and the sense of this grand apocalypse and the zombie apocalypse. And I think, you know, everybody's in that fear mode, and it's uncharted territory. I mean, it's like they said, you know, the 100 year epidemic, something shows up that sweeps the world. You think about the Spanish flu was just 100 years ago. I mean, and look at what happened then and look at how many died then. So it's interesting that we're in these phases and these cycles. And I think people's psycho-emotional is really big, because I spend so much time just emailing or talking with patients or something. And it's just, hey, you know what? I'm here for you. I'm here to listen to you. I'm here to talk about your fear and anxiety. I'm here to help you any way I can, whether it's herbs or whatever, or just a conversation. And let's move on past that. And let's get you to where you're in a spot where this fear is not here. It's an interesting time, to say the least. There will be a silver lining at some point on the other side of it, I am convinced, but we'll just have to wait and see what that is.
Well, hopefully we're going to get better at treating epidemic disease. That's one of the silver linings.
Yeah. I think so.
You know, there would be one piece. You know, I was just thinking about how God, I hope I don't get this quote wrong. This is the problem with having a podcast. You say something stupid and everybody's going to know about it. But isn't there a thing in like the Neijing about fear makes the qi go down? Is that right? I think there's something about that. And I'm thinking about
Let me check my pocket Neijing.
Check your pocket Neijing. You don't have the app? Hang on. Let me get it, my Neijing app here. I think there's something about the qi going down. Anyway, I'm just going to run with this. If I'm wrong, I'll just have to redact it or something. But when I think about all the fear and it makes everything drop and go down, it's kind of the opposite of what you're looking to do when you're trying to deal with an external pathogen. You know, the reason they say that the Shanghanlun, the biggest chapter is the Taiyang chapter, is because if you can keep something on the exterior away from the interior, if you can keep it on the exterior and get it out, then you don't have to worry so much about the interior. And when I think about fear and that it drops the qi down, well, really you want the qi kind of going up and out, and you want the qi available to like run that water wheel that Laura's been talking about. And so in my way of thinking, much like you guys are talking about, anything I can do to help people find a bit of center, a bit of calm, a bit of sense of, you know, it's spring and the daffodils are up, green buds on the trees, and it's actually a beautiful world out there, even though it's got COVID running around in it, that, you know, we don't have to be as afraid. And I think that probably is useful in all kinds of ways.
Yeah, I think that's great. That just what I was saying before, yeah, the people that are too afraid, you got to bring back to the center and be a little bit more calm. And like I said, I was surprised, but quite a few people are not afraid enough. I had to put some downward fear energy from the Neijing into them to get them a little bit more active. Yeah. I think, you know, it's a survival mechanism that comes up, fear, right? And so if we can use it appropriately, then I think that's fantastic as a motivating force. But if it just keeps running over and over again 24 hours a day, then yeah, that's like a recipe for destroying our quote unquote immunity.
Sure. Well, and I appreciate your view on that, Toby. It's so Chinese medicine-y, right? There's like an appropriate amount to have. And if you don't have enough, you need to bring it up. If you got too much, you need to bring it down. I mean, this is what we're always looking to do, it seems, is to regulate things and bring them into the right dynamic so the system can take care of itself.
It would be so helpful if we could do some acupuncture, Toby, oh, yeah, for a lot of these patients. And that's the frustrating part. But, you know, again, that whole kidney fear piece, like bringing the heart energy out, bringing up a little bit of joy into their life, bringing warmth.
But we can do that. We can do that with our words and our connection and,
you know, herbs. Yeah.
And herbs. Well, yeah. How would you do that with herbs, Laura? How would you bring that in to one of your patients if they had a ton of fear that was getting in the way here?
Well, sometimes it depends on their signs and symptoms, but they could have a lot of kidney deficiency, and like especially kidney yang deficiency. There's that saying, you know, when you're dead, you're cold, right? Mm. It's that freezing cold causes fear. I mean, warmth, yang warmth in the body creates that love and joy and warmth in your life. If you're too cold, there's a lot of fear. People have nightmares and terrors and all of those kinds of things that can come up with the yang energy being too low. So helping to, you don't want to create a lot of heat, but it depends on the person. You maybe need a futsa in formula.
Maybe Laura
Jianmutong, right? Even, yeah, or Jianmutong or whatever presents. But those people, they get really fearful. A lot of times will have that kidney weakness.
Yeah, that's a super good point.
And so the ones that spin, which is more liver stagnation a lot of times, you know, they can't get out of a loop of thoughts and...
Yeah. Well, there you go, Laura. You may not be able to do your Sa'am acupuncture, but thank goodness she can use herbs to do Sa'am acupuncture.
Principles, Michael. I always emphasize the principles. So yes, I think, Laura, I think to that point, I think, yeah, there's going to be a lot of acupuncture work to do once we get back at this. You know, there's going to be a lot of things to untie. So yeah, I'm looking forward to getting back to that. And to your point too, I saw just a couple of reports of people with, you know, full PPE and doing acupuncture, and they said it was amazing, right? It's amazing thing that we could do. And I don't know, maybe next epidemic, Chinese medicine in America may play a different role or something like that. Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd like to just take this before we wind it down and talk a little bit about what we see on the back end as we're coming out of this, right? I mean, right now we're at the beginning, we're trying to figure out how to help people here at this time, but there's going to come a point where we're getting back to life, well, to some kind of life. I don't think we go back to what we had, but we're coming out of what we're now going into. And I'd like to get your thoughts on how you think acupuncture and herbs and the work that we do will be helpful to people and what we might be seeing. This is a little bit of theory here, but it's always good to kind of pre-plan if we can. How we might be able to help people as we come out of this. You guys have any ideas about this? Any thoughts?
I think everyone's going to be different. I think there's going to be people with some serious lung problems still coming out of this. Like, they talk about the damage to the actual lung tissue in some of these cases that are hospitalized that make it through. And that's going to be something that we'll have to work with. Other people, maybe grief, right? They may have lost loved ones to this disease. You know, I think that's a real thing that's going to happen here. And just, yeah, take it day by day and just try to, again, like Toby said, bring people back to the middle and help them where they need to be helped.
It sounds like we're just constantly coming back here to, it's not silly, but it's like the stuff that we all learned in the first 3 months of Chinese medicine school, that we use our differential diagnosis. We're looking, where is there excess? Where is deficiency? What's the thing that's most got our attention? Where's the elephant in the room? And to apply the principles that are the basic Chinese medicine parameters.
Can I say this? And then let's see if this is true or not, right? So yes, definitely. This is what we spend an hour talking about, how everything needs to be personalized. But there's certain things that we could start looking for in this disease, possibly dampness. And then go from there, right? So it's nice. We're not starting with just a totally clear deck of just looking at, you know, anything that possibly there. We're looking for dampness. And then we're looking to Chris's point, right, is to hit this hard, right? Like I was saying, my idea is like not to give it a home in the body, any kind of pathogenic factor. But like Chris's example with the Da Qing Long Tong was like, we'll knock it out with a baseball bat out of there, though. So that's a strong inference of how not to give it a home. So I think in general, please tell me if this is not over. My takeaway from this is like, in general, be careful about dampness. And then when you do treat, treat to really knock it out of the park.
No, I think that's great. I think it's about the skill of getting the exact diagnosis correct so that you can unwind it quickly. And you'll know quickly within a day or two if you got it. If you don't have it, you need to go back and look at it again. This is not something you have to do for a week to see a result. It should move quickly if it's the right formula. It'll work.
Yeah. When you give Da Qing Long Tong, you give it for 24 hours. I mean, you're not going to let you're off about it and go, call me in a week. You're like, no. Talk to me later today. Talk to me in the morning. You know, let's be clear where you are. Just like you said, unwind it, be done with it.
Yeah. We're in emergency medicine. We're in emergency medicine now. And that's something that we're not used to in our practice, right? Occasionally, but not all the time.
But this is an important point that Susan Robidoux said the other day at the Shandong conference was, change the formula possibly every day and then give 3 doses a day. And so I'm not exactly sure where she got that information from, but that really stroked to my intuition a little bit. Like, yes, we got to be on this and then stronger doses and then more frequently during the day. Like Laura said, emergency medicine. So we have to change how we usually practice.
Yeah. I think that's a great way to put it.
And they have to take it the day you get, you know, the day you make the formula, they need to take it now. No waiting 2 days, because that's been a little bit difficult. If people don't live around where you're practicing, you can't mail them and have them take it in 2-3 days because their symptoms change. So somehow we've got to just treat the people around us. And that's been tough.
Well, I've just got one more question for all y'alls. And unless anyone else has a question that they'd like to ask, anybody else have something that you'd like to toss out to our group here?
Yeah. I wonder if there's time, if Laura could talk about one of her cases. She saw 9 COVID-9 confirmed cases. I wonder if she could just talk to, in general, what she learned from those 9 or something real specific. I'm eager to hear what real life treating for sure confirmed COVID-9 is like.
Yeah. I guess that, I don't know if I talked about the whole case, the asthma patient. So I did that one. The youngest patient I have is 12. And she already had a flu shot. So to say that this one's confirmed is by they're saying she has COVID-19 because she already had a flu shot and she has flu symptoms. This is how they are diagnosing it. And they're literally just saying, you have COVID-19.
Oh, I heard about that because they think it's very unlikely to be co-infection.
Yeah, right? And they can't test. There's not enough tests. So not unless you're really bad and need to go to the ICU, will they test you? So she was classic Xiaochai Hutong, alternating fever and chills, kind of tight around her rib cage, cough, just all the classic signs. So I just gave her that and she was great in the morning. It was just one dose, but she's 12, right? So just treated it that way.
Lori, you didn't put enough antivirals in there. How could it possibly do
that? No, she forgot Bonlan Gun, also 30 grams of Bonlan Gun.
Yeah. And then there were a whole family that I worked on as well, but I think they were too far away. And so the herbs, I sent a formula and it didn't get there in time. And then the symptoms changed. So I had to change it. And that was kind of the problem. So that was a learning curve for me that I can't do that. And I'm trying to connect them with someone there, but they're actually all on the mend now, which is good. But the worst case is the first person I treated who's asthmatic and young, 30s, which she had that big Ma Shen Qi Gan Tang presentation, which dissipated. And then steroids, oral and inhalers, created this huge Bai Hutong pattern. Big thirst, big sweat. She was drinking gallons of water. Her sheets were soaked. Her fever was high. I mean, it was just classic. I did not need the pulse for that. Bai Hutong, great in the morning. And then more steroids. You know, I can't tell her not to take them. And she's so freaked out about not breathing. So she was taking them. And the doctor had her coming down on the dosage. And now I just made a formula for her, and she's a combination of Xiaochai Hutong and Xiao Shen Sheng Tong. So the Gua Lo Huang Lian Bancha incorporated into the Xiaochai Hutong. Because she's got a lot of trunk tightness, like right under the epigastric and like a full chest feeling. But she's not having those big sweats anymore, but more alternating fever chills kind of coming and going. And it sounds like there's an article in The Guardian that came out that was saying, why are men dying so much more than women? And in my time reading Twitter, I sometimes follow people that are in the hospital in New York City who are tweeting out their symptoms and what's going on for them. It's been very interesting. And a lot of these men are having this alternating fever chill, and they can't get out of the pattern. You can see it's like this Yangming, Xiaoyang pattern. I'm not sure what's happening with their Taiyang, but it sounds like it's being stuck there. And it's just like a pressure cooker. And there's so much heat generating that the fever is getting higher and higher and higher. And they're not able to resolve it, which I think would be can be more common in men than women. You know, there's a lot more of those patterns in men. So that kind of makes sense to me.
That would be an interesting study to look at people's Twitter feeds and see what kind of pattern they are.
It's interesting to follow. Yeah. Like, what's going on? Can we send this person herbs? You know, like, this is like, you can see what's going on.
I mean, it sounds like you're doing that. That's a brilliant bit of sleuthing. Yeah. All right. Well, I thank all of you. Before we wind down, I would just like to, how do I want to wind this down? How about we just wind it down with just sharing a little bit of what we're doing for ourselves or our families right now to keep that qi flowing so that we all stay well.
Well, I guess I'll just start. Toby, I'm supplementing my liver a lot, trying to do that and take my constitutional formula and try to eat healthy and wash my hands, keeping my social distance at the moment, which has been interesting. It's good. I think it's good. And just trying to stay connected with everybody. I think that's really important. And trying not to get wound up in the news. I don't really watch the news so much. I'm more of a Twitter person anyways, but following what I want to follow. I don't want to watch CNN and watch all the statistics. That's just not something I think is helpful for anybody. Because they're not talking about the people that are getting well, because they're not being counted. Even these people that I'm treating, some of them are not tested positive, so they don't even go into the database of the numbers, right? That's not even there. So just trying to really manage that stress.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest. It's just that, I mean, just taking a break from all the hysteria from the media and just all of that. My daughter's 9, so I've been watching a lot of Mako mermaids from Australia and you know, doing things like that. My clinic is right next to a graveyard and they haven't jumped out of the ground yet. So I take it each day we're safe and we're okay and we can just keep going to the next day. But I do the same thing, taking the herbs for prevention, making sure we, you know, get plenty of sleep, lots of liquids, wash my hands. And then like we had yesterday, the neighborhood social, you know, cocktail party, those are important. Everybody's outside, everybody's on a porch, everybody's kind of chatting, hanging out, like, you know, probably like we used to always do, and not always stuck on these. Get the, you know, put the damn phone down, move away from it, exist in the world for a little bit.
Sounds good. Well, I've been taking my Dong Chong Sha Cao, and along with the Gan Cao Gan Chang Tang, I've been doing that for about the past 3 days. I mentioned this earlier in our conversation. It's interesting to think of that as being supportive of the Zong Qi and to really attend to, well, what does that feel like in me? And it does feel like a lightness and a vibrancy that I do experience in my chest. It's quite reassuring being a guy with constitutionally weak lungs. So there's that. For me, extra sleep. I've been letting myself sleep more. We're eating well. We always eat well. My wife is a bit OCD when it comes to food. And what's been super interesting that I've noticed, and this is just, it's not that we're trying to do this, but it's just arisen. We're eating basically two meals a day. We're eating like a late lunch and like something at like an early dinner. And that's enough. It's just, I mean, for some reason, that just feels like the right amount of food right now. We're not trying to do that. It's just a pattern that we've fallen into. So it feels right. It feels good. That way there's not so much that we have to digest. I know I'm not as active as I usually am because I've been doing tons of podcasts here lately because I can't see patients. So yeah, it helps to not have so much coming in so they don't have to worry about pressing, saying so much to get out. So there's been that. Less media, more meditation. Those are my main things. How about you, T?
I was hoping you'd forget about me. Everything everyone's been saying. Unfortunately, my wife, she's hospital-based acupuncturist. I was always so proud of her, you know, being hospital-based, but now it makes me a little bit nervous. The wing she's at they're basically not seeing patients right now, just a few like chemo-induced nausea and some other just really severe things, but, you know, basically not seeing patients. But yeah, everyone said, more sleep, more meditation, everything like that. And I just feel so lucky we have something, Chinese medicine. I cupped her the other night, you know, just because we have that, you know, we can just pull something off the surface. So again, I just love Chinese medicine. There's always something we can do, even in a novel situation.
Great. Well, again, friends, thank you so much for joining me for this conversation today.
It was a blast. Thank you, Laura and Toby. It was nice to talk to you guys in person.
Same. It was great.
Thank you. It's nice to see everyone, even just on screen. It's nice to see everybody.